Sexton trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down.
But Carl slammed it home.
Garland upstairs. Oh!
Sexton inside. Oh. A thunderous dunk. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. In the game of life, when it asks me to call heads or tails, I tend to call heads. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, are you a heads or tails guy?
I'm a headsman.
You're a headsman as well.
You know, I believe that you know, society is telling us to pick tails. And if nothing else, I'm a believer in heads. And if the Cavs Twitter account is to be believed, they are not headsmen, and we're paying the price today.
Well, you know what? I always appreciate a good Charlie McDennis reference, so I'm going to take that as a win. But joining
Thank
us today you. Is Cavs team photographer Jimmy Longo. Jimmy, are you a heads or tails guy?
So typically, tails never fails. I towed the company line today, and it bit us. But yeah, happy to be on, guys.
We're really happy to have you here with us. We are, of course, alluding to the tiebreaker that went down today between the Cavs and Thunder. I doubt they use a real coin, right? Like, it's just one that's kind of been weighted for, like, two sides evenly, like A or B. Do you guys think they actually use a coin? Because I would love
Absolutely.
To know
that. Absolutely. They're using a pristine quarter from the Met.
I can picture the lottery officials just like, all right, who's got the quarter, and just pulling it out of someone
from PricewaterhouseCoopers
right.
opens up this immaculate ornate suitcase with it seated in foam. That's where they get the quarter.
I really hope that that's the case. But for those that are confused with it, we've gone over kind of how the tiebreaker has worked recently.
Have we?
We have.
I don't think we have.
Maybe I
really wasn't listening.
You can't rule out. You don't listen to me. I went on a tangent, and I believe you mocked me and talked about how long-winded I was. But anyway,
you know what? That is true. I was so busy looking up the Scott Steiner probability VOD that I wasn't actually listening to the subject material.
All right, so how it works, the Cavs and Thunder still have the same lottery odds for the first four picks in this draft. What this means, for those that are sick of picking fifth, the chances of that have kind of gone out the window. There is only a 2% chance of the Cavs picking fifth, even though they have the fifth lottery odds. That's because only four spots are drawn in the lottery, and in order for the Cavs to pick fifth, Houston, Detroit, Orlando, and OKC would all have to land in the top four. Meaning that 2% chance of fifth is the chance that all of those teams don't fall. Houston, their most likely outcome is fifth. Same with Detroit. OKC and Orlando, their most likely outcome is the sixth pick in the draft. And the Cavs and Minnesota Timberwolves, their most likely outcome is seventh. So you still have the same odds of top four. We're probably getting something different.
How did we live before Tankathon, man?
Oh my God, I don't know. It's definitely
we
a necessary resource as things got weird.
But were in the wilderness.
we absolutely were. Jimmy, do you have a prediction for where the team is going to land?
Oh man, I know there are a lot of things that would work. I hope it's, I know I'm with the Cavs fans. I'd rather be in that top four than see a five or lower. I'm sure that would make the Cavs fans a lot happier. So we'll go top four. I'm pretty confident we'll be top four.
I got a real feeling, fellas. I think we're winning this thing. I don't know why. It's just in my heart. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I do think it's very important to note that really the only thing that changed with the flip is that they can fall back one extra spot. And that's why I didn't really watch the flip with much anticipation, because if you're the Cavs at this point with the roster where it is, you're either a lotto, you either are a team that gets your ping pong pulled, or it doesn't much matter. Like, I don't, like, fall... The protection against falling to nine, you know, I guess it would have been nice. Mm-hmm. But, like, as long as those top four odds remained unchanged, I didn't much care. Because when you do talk to draft experts right now, tier three of this draft is, like, around 47 dudes long. And it's really going to be kind of Coke or Pepsi on kind of who you prefer in that group. So, to me, I was just like, the second I found out that the odds were still split for the actual drawing... Mm-hmm. Then my concern went way out the window on this.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helps. And, like, Kuminga's actually probably the prospect I feel, like, the least confident on in my read of him. Like, I just don't know what to do with him. So the likelihood of five going away is fine for me, because I think this kind of top tier is four deep.
Feels like a guy who's going to fall, though. I know he's been pretty consistently a five the whole way, but, like, how many dudes that are fifth on the boards that no one seems to be in love with stay there, you know?
That's
dudes like Scotty Barnes who, you know, are going to have super fans in some front offices. I feel like those are the dudes who make the leap, and dudes like Kuminga just fall by the wayside.
I have a feeling
dudes a lot.
I have a feeling we're going to pick third. I think Jalen Green is destined to become part of the Cavs, and some of that is his hair. I feel like his hair really fits into what they've got going on. Yeah. Jimmy, I got a question for you. Has there been a new addition to the Cavs? So you've been with the team for 2 years, correct?
Yeah, my first year was 2019-2020.
Okay, so the Cavs have had a fair amount of roster turnover in that time. Has there been a guy that's joined the team and, like, immediately seeked you out asking questions like, hey, I want to be photographed this way? Like, they're automatically thinking of how they're going to show up.
So in a real sense, like, a lot of the two-way, the 10-day, the guys that are, like, getting their cup of coffee, that are new, that, you know, aren't going to see any minutes, are like, hey, like, I want to make sure I'm looking nice in these walk-in photos. Like, yeah, I mean, the real one, like, one that sticks out to me is if Jetty has, like, a nice fit, some nice shoes, like, he'll, like, make sure he'd be like, you get that? And I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm sure that'll make some Cavs fans mad, because everything that Jetty does seems to make Cavs fans mad, but Jetty's the one that sticks out.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's anybody that has a higher Q rating than you, and you've flown under the radar because everyone loves the pictures that you've taken all year. Like, that seems to be the one thing that goes around. And that's
why I'm getting ready to say exactly this, because it's weird. I feel like most team staffers, you know, you're gonna have a relationship with the people you work with, but, like, you and Zazna are like these little mini celebrities, because you're the ones delivering all the IG clips and all the highlights and all the reels. And, like, it's so funny, like, when you look at, like, anything you post, it's always going to be like, if it's a dope picture of Kev, Kev's gonna like it, Kev's gonna be into it. And it is, like, do you feel like you kind of have a closeness, like, to these guys just by having these interactions, by having kind of this, like this inherently this relationship where you're actually really interacting with these guys? Do you feel like you kind of have a closeness to these players that maybe people in other spots in the org might not get to have?
Right. I mean, I think it breaks the wall right away, you know, like, you know, as much as NBA players love to play, they love to see, you know, the history that's captured of what they do. So me being young and being able to identify with like how young our team is, I mean, I'm the same age or just like a little bit older than everybody. So, I mean, that definitely breaks any kind of wall that would be there if I was like had been there 20 years, I'm sure. But yeah, man, it's, I still pinch myself. People from my hometown are still like, man, what's it like? And I'm just like, you know, it's normal now, but like, there's always like that thing there. Like, yeah, I mean, Kevin loves posting my photos or liking my photos or really anybody. It'll never get not a little bit weird.
So did you grow up as a Cavs fan?
No. So my dad is from the East Coast. He's from Northeast Connecticut. So big Boston fans growing up.
Oh boy.
I know. Cavs fan now. You know, he'll still, like, I got him tickets to the couple Cavs Celtics games this year. He's, can I at least wear like a Boston University hoodie? And I'm like, I mean, these are team member tickets. Like, I don't know what you want to do, but won't tell anybody. Say that's my son.
Maybe just rock a free Cavs shirt, Dad.
Yeah. There's plenty of those that they give us. But no, Celtics fan growing up. I mean, loved seeing LeBron play. What he did here was obviously incredible. So I grew up during some great years and some bad years, but got to see a lot of good basketball. But no, I mean, definitely love being here now, though.
I'm imagining you didn't enjoy what LeBron used to do to the Celtics a whole lot.
Yeah. the last year before I actually started working here, like, I was of Birmingham, Alabama, of all places, and it was the Eastern Conference Finals, and Jason Tatum had that dunk right on LeBron in game seven. Then all of a sudden he just took over. I was like, man, I'm sitting in a hotel in Alabama. I'm 500 miles from home. Like, I was living in Arkansas at the time. And I'm like, man, LeBron just ended the Celtics again.
That was such an unexpected series. Like, I was so down in the dumps. Like, I was down in the dumps after the first round, and I was predicting to lose to the Raptors.
Then I don't think people all the way understand. Like, if you're new to the podcast, Justin is this flowery, happy-go-lucky guy, like the perpetual Cavs optimist. Like, Justin was so grumpy that whole season, and like he never could find any fun. Like, Justin, without irony, was like, yeah, the making the finals in 2018, that season was worse than last season. I'm like, come on. Wow. No, it wasn't. You're out of your mind.
I'll push back on one thing. I did enjoy the hell out of beating Toronto. That series was great. That was actually the first. I had just moved into my new place. My cable got connected right before game one, and that was how I christened my TV. So that was a great experience.
Well, no matter how dark it is for the Cavs, if the Raptors are in pain, you're happy.
Oh, absolutely. And my Jets just pulled off a sweep of hockey's Mike Trout, and they might play Toronto in the playoffs. So that might be a lot of fun for
hockey's
King of the North.
Mike Trout. What the hell is that?
It means that he is impossibly good, but just not having the team success.
And no one knows who he is. Yeah. Because I actually don't know who you're talking about.
There you go. Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid. I know him.
Yeah.
Give me next. Because I actually think we're going the same direction anyway. Jimmy, you were one of the very few people on the traveling squad this year. What was that experience like being one of those? Because, you know, I know that it used to be a fairly large traveling party, and then it got really, really skinny. How different was that experience for you?
So last year, I was in a different title role. So I only traveled probably to a third of the road games. So I have a pretty good idea of what it was like, but I know last year, like, there's typically corporate partners on road trips, and just a heck of a lot of people on each trip that you might not know. And this year, like, it was thin. Like, everybody I knew, that there would be at least one coach, maybe two, that would stay back, you know, that would work with guys that were injured or whatnot. But man, like, I can't even describe it. Like, I knew when I got on the plane, I was sitting at the very back of the plane, like, don't take my mask off unless I'm drinking, like, all this random stuff. Like, oh my gosh, it was nuts. Can't describe it.
How much interaction did you get to have with folks? Because, like, you know, the hopeful part of my brain goes, well, I would imagine the people in the traveling group kind of, it had to be a pretty insular experience that the only people who are traveling really get it. Like, did you feel like you kind of got tighter with the people that were on the that were in the traveling group, or was it so restricted and locked down that it was really like plane by myself, then hotel by myself, then game by myself? Like how isolated was it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was with, it wasn't like I couldn't approach anybody. Like, typically there was always like the NBA standard, you know, 6 feet from everybody. That's impossible 99% of the time. But you know, like, outside of wear your masks, social distance, like, I was around everybody. Like, there was no, hey, stay away from so-and-so kind of thing.
Yeah, but I guess at that point when you're traveling, like, you're part of the inner circle at that point.
Yeah, and we got tested so many times. Like, I live in Painesville, and, you know, the facility is in Independence. So every morning from December to, you know, last week, I was driving 40 minutes each way at least once a day. So there's no way, like, us being around each other didn't matter.
You know? That's actually been one of the things that, looking back on this season, like, so many things went wrong for the Cavs, but, like, I'm just so happy that that's not one of the things, that there wasn't really like this big outbreak that some of these other teams had. Like, you look at Jason Tatum now has to use an inhaler all the time. Jimmy Butler got really sick, lost a lot of weight.
Dennis Schroeder just got back.
Yeah. I don't know if he had it. All the messaging around the Lakers is so confusing right now.
Actually, we just had this talk, me and some buddies, because they were like, why are they so talking about it so much? I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, you can't help but wonder if it's if they're there's some, you know, quiet under the table reporting going on, because like I don't think they'd be talking about it as much as they are if he was just like around someone, you know. So, but it's impossible to know, and that's what's crazy about it, is you have to speculate.
It is a little bit bonkers, but I'm not going to go too far down the speculation rabbit hole, even though I am inclined to do so every now and then. This is just not one of those topics that gets me going.
No, it's not a fun one.
Jimmy, we talked about so much. We've discussed how it feels like there were 6-7 seasons crammed into one, where there were these massive swings with this team. They started out in the playoffs, in the playoff picture, losing streak, winning streak, losing streak, winning streak, great individual performances and kind of feel-good moments. How much does your job change based on how the team is performing? Do you find when you're kind of photographing guys off of the court and things are going well, they're more open to it? Or is there really no difference when they just kind of see you and they're like, hey, this is going to make Instagram. Make sure you get my outfit.
So I noticed that, I mean, obviously when we're in the midst of 2 10-game losing streaks, like there's less posting amongst players. And, you know, like the team accounts are trying to keep as much morale out there as you can when you're in the midst of 2 10-game losing streaks. Yeah. But I mean, I'm glad you say that, because it literally did feel like, I feel like there's chapters of each part of the season that really, like, you know, the first 3 games, like the Brooklyn games, that awful West Coast trip that was so, so bad. I mean, you know, I typically know by the end of the first quarter, like that was our thing. If we were down by 9 or more, like I know, okay, guys probably aren't going to want photos tonight. I'm probably going to have an early night, which is, you know, done by 11. And if we're traveling somewhere else, I can sleep on the plane and not edit photos while everybody else around me sleeps. But yeah, man, when we'd win, if we were on the road, and we were going somewhere else, if we weren't staying overnight, I'd be probably up till 2:30, you know, getting things up to social, to our social team, to post the next morning, and then getting stuff to players if they wanted it in the morning. You know, but if we lost, which, you know, I mean, our record showed, I'd be done by 11:30 midnight, but yeah.
Geez, and I thought I got tired just watching games and then talking about it with Carter after. I can only imagine how tough that was.
That's more a byproduct of our relationship.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what are your goals when you go to, like, when you're out at a game? Like how, like, intentional are you? Is it get dope shots? Is that, like what are you, like, on a standard game day, like, what are you really looking to accomplish? Right.
So a lot of it, there's, like, 2 things I'd say we'd really focus on. One is, you know, the best content we can make as quickly as possible and getting it to the right parties as soon as possible. And then the other one is just, like, I don't know, thinking outside of the box, like, you know, sometimes I might shoot pregame, like pregame can get boring. It's the same players doing the same thing at the same time on the clock every night. But, you know, I'd take like a certain different lens and try and shoot it that way. Games typically stay the same, because, you know, you need the right equipment to do what you have to do. So it's more about making sure you capture all the moments. But yeah, man, there's a lot that goes into it. But for sure, like, I think what David and Courtney Payton, our other digital content producer, what he would say is, you know, our goal as a squad was to get the shot, edit the shot, and get it to whoever needed it as quickly as possible.
I remember you had posted a picture. It was after a Cavs win, where Nance was getting kind of the post game interview, and I guess as a product, you had commented that you were able to get a different angle with kind of the Cavs win banner behind him, which was kind of one of those things that may not have been possible if there wasn't a pandemic. Can you kind of speak to kind of just the different angles and the access you were able to get as kind of a bright side of not having as many fans in the arena?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I noticed it like the first game of the season, you know, where BJ Evans had set up our post game pressers, those quick hits after the game. And I think that graphic that our arena team put on the LEDs right there is so, so sick. So I noticed it probably the first or second regular season game. And, you know, there's things like that all around that I don't think you're not going to get over to where I would shoot that shot if there's you know, somebody paying $250 a ticket to sit in, you know, mm-hmm. they're not going to be there. Not to say that I don't like the on-court shots just as much, because I think those have value too, but man, it'll be interesting to see. It's been cool to document this season, knowing that, you know, things just truly like aren't as they usually are.
I mean, normally when I'm kind of plotting out ahead of time, it's to make a joke about like Eric Bledsoe hurting the Bucks.
Right.
It's right. Not like scoping out, hey, that banner looks really cool. If I could just get this just right after the right Cavs win, this could be a really cool shot and produce something that people genuinely like.
Justin, don't undersell that. You first off, don't. It's false modesty, because you were very proud of that Bledsoe tweet.
Oh, I was really proud of it. I just understand how petty and small what I do is. I understand how petty and small what I'm proud of is.
That's fair.
One question. So we talked about, obviously, kind of how the ups and downs of this season had impacted your job and how everything went this year. What was your read, though, on this season? Because I'm sure being around the team, you kind of have a different view on how good the product is, where this team is heading. How do you kind of sum up this season and what the team went through?
I think, like I said earlier, like I put it into chapters, like, you know, the first starting of the season 3-0 was awesome. Like, you know, before we got Jarrett and TP, like those three games were awesome. You know, the awful West Coast trip that we had going 0-5 was another part. And I think a lot of that was just, you know, before the buyout with Andre, it just like wasn't working, and we were trying to make two very large individuals work in the same lineup. It just wasn't going to piece together long-term. Everybody knew. But, you know, at the end of the season, like the last, I don't, finishing the season 2-16 obviously wasn't ideal, but, you know, I looked at it like, you know, we had three concussions in a single game. Like that Washington game where Lamar, Hartenstein, and there's another one, but Larry broke his thumb that same game.
Yeah.
Dele had that neck strain that just put him out for the rest of the year. And
didn't Sexton get a concussion in that game too?
It was Colin.
Yep. So, I mean, like you can look at the granular record and say, oh, like the Cavs went 2-16 the last, or 2-14 the last 16 games. But like, yeah, but I mean, the injury reports like show you why. Like you saw enough good basketball and enough like promise and good wins. Like that San Antonio game was awesome. So much fun that like, I'm cautious. I'm saying this because I believe in the culture and I believe what the front office is building. And like, it's going to be, it's a good squad. It's a good core. Like, I know the, you are what your record is kind of thing. Like people always point to that, but like, it's not,
not in the eyes of this optimist. Let me tell you that.
Like even at one point, the last road game we played, or second to last, we were in Dallas, and you know, Mark Cuban's obviously very front and center of the Mavs, and he's standing next to me the entire second half. And he's like, we're down 14 and we were down 30. Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, like we got to pull this one out. I'm looking at it and I'm like, we have three healthy guards. And one of them, like, no disrespect to Broderick Thomas, cause he's a great player. And like, I'm glad that we picked him up and showed that he can play, but
he's on,
man, I'm like, Mark, like, we are, Jetty's playing point way more than he ever should right now. Like, yeah. I don't think you have to worry. Like, we're
you
so
got
decimated.
Luka.
Like,
you've yeah. got Luka.
Right. Right.
I guess he got kicked out of that game, right?
He sure did.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So,
I forgot about
it. So this was the game before, but yeah, that was.
Oh, okay. They did play two in a row.
That was that game in Dallas and then back to Cleveland for another matchup, but yeah.
So you are one of the few people, so even reporters, beat people that normally are all over the team, have the pulse of the team in a way that, you know, almost nobody gets to. Even they weren't as close to the team as you were this season. Kind of what did you observe from them, their practice habits, their work habits, their kind of their mentality over the course of the year? You know, one thing that jumps immediately to mind is you posted a shot of Colin practicing threes. You're like, same shot every day for the past nine
literally
months.
Man, people just find anything they want to say about Colin, and I get it. The metric gods aren't great about his defense, or people think that he can't pass or whatever, but man, the kid works so hard. Like, it's, we got 3 days to go before the end of the season, and I walk in to set up lighting because I was taking our team photo for the year. You know, it's 8 a.m. and he's got the gun out and he's already had like 600 threes and it's like 8:30. And I'm like, dude, like, the season's over in 3 days. What have you been doing for the last like 6 months? That, right? Like,
get some sleep.
And I know the training staff and the coaching staff is always like, hey, take it easy. Like, you're the Ferrari, like, just stay calm. But man, like, they work hard. You know, it's not like the losses aren't representative of, you know, a player's slacking off because they have a losing season. Like, it's all there. It's just a matter of, like, we got decimated by injuries, and yeah.
To me, honestly, a lot of the losses are summed up by the age of the lineup and the injury report. Like, very often you can look at that. I mean, even Larry, like, Larry's still relatively young, and he's the vet on this team. Yeah. And what you're talking about with Sexton, like, anytime we talk to anybody that's around him, you always get these glowing reports. Like, everybody loves him. He works so damn hard on his game. How far he's come since he's been drafted is just remarkable. And, like, I know even personally, like, there are times where I kind of have to separate how hard I'm, like, emotionally rooting for him and invested into, like, the kind of contract talks and fit and kind of long-term projecting and all that. Like, it kind of sometimes sucks having to do that. But, like, at the end of the day, like, that's just a guy that you always want to root for because he's out there working. And it does seem like, at least from our perspective, a little further away from the team than you are, that they have a lot of young guys that kind of just have this insane love for the game and this really impressive work ethic.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know, you know, before Lamar got his contract, and even during, like, you know, that somebody who scored 2,500 points at Penn State was so good and, you know, didn't get drafted. But man, like, there's just so many guys on this team that are gym rats, and you know, I really think it's going to show.
Who's someone who has impressed you behind the scenes, just in observing their work ethic, observing their habits, that maybe Cavs fans don't know about? Because, you know, obviously Sexton gets all the pub, is like the worker. Who's someone who has impressed you with the way they conduct themselves professionally, that, you know, maybe doesn't get as much attention?
I mean, you know, everybody does their job. That's for sure. Like, you know, shots after a shoot around or a practice are optional, but everybody gets them up. It's an expectation, unofficially, but, Dean Wade is always, you know, working on his craft with Chris Darnell. And, you know, I think that's really showed. I want to preface it with, everybody gets those extra shots up. Everybody does their job.
No, I heard you. Everyone except the person you named is a lazy bum.
Dean Wade is the only one trying out here.
Dean Wade's the only, Don Sexton, the only two who work hard on the team.
I'm towing the company line, but I mean, you know, I think it's been cool to see Dean go from G Leaguer,
He seemed like, you know, like, honestly, we talked about this on our last pod. We did kind of a Cavs award show. And, like, when we were talking most improved, like, we were thinking Garland or Sexton. And they were like, wait, what? Oh, yeah, Dean Wade. Like, before at the end of last year, I would have put, like, 95% that he's just a guy, you know, just a guy who works hard and is good culturally, but, you know, not someone who's probably going to stick in the league. And now I see him and I go, yeah, like, how can the Cavs get this guy rotation minutes?
I'll have looked up in the game, and, you know, during it, you shoot the shot, you send your work in, but you don't really notice the box score unless it's like the Brooklyn game and Colin has literally gone off for 20 straight points. But I looked up in a couple of those games and I'm like, man, it's like the first half and Dean's already got 3 threes and he's got 4 rebounds and assists. He's got a block. And I'm like, hey, we got something. Like, keep giving this kid minutes. Like, so
I mean, we did 9 months of previews for last season, pretty much. And yeah. I listened
Dean Wade once.
Yeah, I listened back to about four of our season preview episodes because I always like to look back on kind of what our thought process was, try to figure out where my blind spots were, how our takes aged. And we did a pretty good job. I think Carter and I can pat ourselves on the back for this year. But Dean Wade did not come up. He did not come up. I think once I mentioned him as like, at the time it was a non-guaranteed contract of, okay, well, like as they signed Thon Maker and we're kind of figuring out where he fits in, he is not in the Thon Maker category of players anymore. Like he's actually someone right. that you're factoring into the rotation. So those type of stories are always really cool to me because it just makes such a big difference for teams when you can find that value on the margins.
And crappy teams don't find that value on the margins. You know, like bad unhealthy organizations don't do that. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic about the Cavs, I think it's finding dudes like Lamar Stevens and Dean Wade that look like they're going to be players in the league for a minute, despite being undrafted. So, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Jimmy.
No, you're good. I think one thing that's, you know, that's so funny about, I mean, you know, there's just good people like Dean and Lamar. You know, we joke sometimes about Dean being from St. John, Kansas or whatever, and having like 300 people in his hometown. And every time he has a good game, I'm like, Dean, did your mom watch you on the local news last night? Like you were probably the top story. And he's like, dude, I honestly probably was.
Oh man. That's kind of like anytime I do anything up here in Winnipeg, I'm a celebrity. Don't actually fact check that. Never check our papers. It's all about me though.
Listen, we're in the Washington Post, baby.
Hey, that's right. We were. Mm-hmm. God, man, this year has been a damn blur. Jimmy, what is your favorite story from this season that you can share? Obviously, there's stuff that has to stay confidential, state secrets, and I respect your need to protect the players. But I want to hear some of your best stories because, I mean, actually, you could probably say anything you want because after we get Cavs Social to tweet out that you quoted that Dean Wade is the only one that works hard on this team, who knows where this is going to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably over for you anyway, pal.
Yeah, that's going to be the tweet.
Well, I'm about to go downstairs and tell my wife I lost my job. No, so one that sticks out, you know, I talked about that really bad West Coast trip. Man, the night that we lost to Portland, like I'll never forget that flight experience. Like, so we lose, obviously it's a tough game, we lose by 20. Portland's just super physical. It's Dame. It's, you know, it's over before it starts. And the city of Portland apparently doesn't believe in like rock salt or something because it harms all the salmon in the Pacific Northwest. So there's probably like 10 inches of snow on the ground. And we have four charter buses driving out to the airport. The airport's closed. There are no flights going in and out. We are the only flight in this airport about to leave. And so we get there about 11:30 midnight, maybe Pacific time. And I'm like, okay, like they're about to de-ice the plane for a while. So I'm just going to fall asleep. We lost by 25. Like I have nothing to do. So I wake up. I wake up the first time. It's 3 a.m. We are still sitting on the tarmac in Portland. It's still snowing. I'm like asking, you know, in a half sleep to the flight attendant, I'm like, what are we doing? And she's like, oh, well, the de-icing truck ran out of de-icer. So we had to go get another one. And Lord knows where this thing came from. Like some driver in the middle of the night just had to get woken up out of bed to get us off the ground. And so I went back to sleep again, woke up. It was 4:30 maybe, still hadn't left. I was asleep in Portland. The whole plane was after we just lost to Portland. We were asleep on there for 6 hours, four and a half, whatever. And by the time we got off the ground and got to LA the next day, we were supposed to practice that day. The sun was up. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. My wife's like, why aren't you talking to me? Like, are you okay? And I'm like, listen, like, we literally just got to the hotel. Like it is 6 a.m. The sun is up and I am out of it. Like my contacts were so dry and it was the only pair I had that when I got off the plane, they flew out of my eyes. I had to wear glasses in LA. Where did we play? LA, in Utah, maybe wherever the last two games. So it was Golden State. Yeah, Golden State. So I had to wear glasses in LA and Golden State the last two games because I lost my contacts from being so dry, having been in my eyes all day, all night. Yeah, that was.
They were really more like clear pebbles at that point.
Oh my gosh, that was miserable.
So you're in no rush to go back to Portland, is what you're saying?
I'm sure it's awesome when it's not a pandemic and when it's not the middle of the winter. And I advise the city council to consider some form of rock salt of snow deterrent for when they have a snowstorm. But man, like, oh, that was something else.
I want to circle back because you mentioned earlier that like player has a great outfit on or whatever when they're walking through the tunnel. They want to make sure they got the shot. Has anyone re-walked through the tunnel? Have they made a re-entrance to make sure you got the shot? You don't have to name names if you don't want to, but I got to know if someone does it.
Yeah, there have been multiple. I don't want to name names for that player's
but you absolutely should.
Just drag Dean Wade again.
No. As far as embarrassing things go, this is pretty minor. Come on, Jimmy, let me be the devil on your shoulder.
So I will say that Dean Wade wears the same. He wears like a Metallica hoodie, a Def Leppard shirt,
what?
Or like he's got like one. I know players' outfits. I know if they repeat stuff, that's Dean's walk-in gripe. He doesn't differentiate enough. I will say the person who asked for the photo again was because he couldn't see his shoes or something. I don't know. It was only one time. It was Jetty. Like it was quick. He's like, oh man, I don't like the latest looks. Can we shoot it again? And he made sure
that head and shoulder sponsorship changed him, you know?
Yeah.
He became a model and then it was over.
Look, man, look good, play good. Like when you got a good outfit on, you want to make sure it's captured. I totally understand.
Justin doesn't know what it's like, but you know, when he wears his basketball jersey to the pickup run, but
look, right now, you know. I am wearing vacation shirts. I've made a decision to wear vacation shirts around the house. I even left it unbuttoned because I can't go anywhere. We are in total lockdown. It is a nightmare outside.
I tell you this, Justin? I almost wore a bro tank on the pod tonight.
Oh.
I had one on and I was like, how hard is he gonna roast me for this?
I would have been so proud of you. I would have been so proud of you. They
Jimmy,
would have
I don't
kept...
know if you know this, but Justin is the broiest bro in America as a dresser.
Yeah.
Just tanks and jersey. What's your thought on wearing a Cavaliers jersey to a pickup run?
Hey, support the squad. Support
Unbelievable.
The squad. Right?
Wrong.
See?
Wrong answer.
Any situation you would wear a tank top, you can wear a jersey. That is my stance.
If I saw a dude wearing a legitimate NBA jersey at the run, he better be an NBA player. And even then, it's weird.
Oh, man. See, this is so weird because anytime there's like a run here, everyone's wearing jerseys. Like this might be a cultural thing. Maybe
we wear jerseys. We just don't wear them to play basketball. In.
No, we do that to play basketball in. And you go to any park in Winnipeg when it's actually open and people are allowed to do stuff and they're wearing jerseys. I'm claiming cultural bias by you.
I get a hockey sweater. And I think this is what it is. Is a hockey sweater you can play hockey in, and it probably doesn't feel ridiculous. A basketball jersey, I cannot support this.
I was talking basketball jersey. I mean, hockey for sure. That's all over the place here, especially
I'm saying that,
right now.
I think that's why you've been fooled into thinking it's okay, because it's not.
All right. Well, I say anytime you can wear a tank top, you can wear a jersey. Jimmy, there is a moment from this season that I just absolutely adored. And I part of why I was asking if you grew up as a Cavs fan is because I would imagine this moment would be just a little bit cooler if you did.
Right.
But when Anderson Varejao showed up and he didn't know where the locker was because it got moved, and you got your moment. You got your moment in the sun. You got that TV moment where you got to show him where the new locker was. How was that?
So can I cuss on this podcast? Can we cuss on this podcast?
I have no idea, but maybe.
So
we'll bleep it on the back end. It's fine.
So I was walking down the hallway. I'm getting photos of him talking to everybody. I get like a good photo of him in front of our crest that's by the locker room. I'm like, all right, I'm good. And then he goes to open the door and I'm like, oh, he doesn't have his fingerprint scan. Actually, there's a scanner to get in the locker room. And I'm like, oh shit. So he doesn't know. And I walk down the hallway and I see Bally sports cameras everywhere. And I'm like, oh shit. So I'm hoping that I'm not in the shot. And soon enough, 5 minutes later, Brent Valenti texts me. He's like, hey, get your mom ready. You're about to be on TV. And I'm like, please, no. Like, so that was cool. It was cool to get a shout out from J Mike and AC, especially. You know, what's hilarious about Andy is, like, I went to one Cavs game as a kid. When I interviewed to work here, like, they're like, so how many Cavs games have you been to? You're from Ohio. And I'm like, I'm going to be honest. Like, we used to come to Cleveland to go to Indians games and to see the Red Sox play the Indians. And then we left. Like, I haven't been here a ton, but the one
I had to give a similar answer that I wasn't proud of when I met the Cavs brass. Yeah. Well, yeah. I was like, I didn't really go to a lot of games.
Yeah, funny story. I at that point, I had attended more games than Carter.
I think you still have,
that's,
man.
That's even better.
Because most of the games I've been to have been in Indy. Because I went a lot when I lived in Chicago. Anyway, I interrupted your story. Go ahead.
I went to one Cavs game as a kid. I sat in the nosebleeds. They played the Knicks. It was early LeBron years, early Andy years. But they gave away Andy wigs that night. So I was that's like, man, awesome. This is nostalgic. Like, this, I am feeling the warmth here. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. So obviously this season was absolutely bonkers. I can only imagine, like, as you're describing, like, the late hours and whatnot and the condensed schedule, like, I'm sure you are absolutely exhausted. Are you even watching the playoffs right now, or are you just completely decompressing from basketball?
So I'm paying attention. I haven't watched a game. I'm more paying attention, honestly, to college baseball at the moment. My old team, the good old Arkansas Razorbacks, number one in the country. So I've been following them, looking at box scores. I like to look at box scores to see, like, who got DMPs. That's, like, my weird thing for some reason. I didn't even know that Brandon Clark wasn't in Memphis's rotation until the other night, which is wild. But no,
it hurts me as a Canadian. It truly does.
Is he hurt, or did he just fall out of the rotation?
Bit of both.
I think the jumper is so bad. Like, what happened? Efficiency is just way down. I'm like, I didn't even know that. But no, haven't watched. Been following on social because, you know, NBA Twitter, it's impossible to stay away from when you work here. Just hanging out, hanging with the baby, hanging with the wife. But yeah, not paying too close attention.
Well, I completely understand that. I mean, it is a lot. And even my wife asked me questions. Like, I throw on another game. She's like, oh, the basketball's still on? I thought it was over. I'm like, no, that's just the Cavs. I know it's...
It's a hopeful question because I get it a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was... Is it not over?
Yeah.
To be fair, I feel the same way about every single TLC show. I don't know, like, those seasons
never stop, my friend.
And there's always a new one right after. Like, it's amazing how much content they get out of that. It's inspiring, really.
To be very clear, it's a television channel, so there is always one right after.
Right.
Just by design, that's how it works.
Oh, man. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some insights and some stories. I mean, this was a lot of fun, and this was something that was unique, too. Like, I really like getting to get another view of kind of what all goes on when it comes to NBA games. Because, I mean, what we see on TV and from a distance is totally different. So thank you so much for your perspective, man.
Yeah, boys. This is awesome. Thank you.
Of course. It's nice to have a coworker on every now and
then. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yes.
And hopefully these three men that have not met each other can have a drink at some point next year. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. I want to keep my fingers crossed. I'm an optimist with this. I'm an optimist with most things. That's just the way that I roll. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to all our listeners as well. If you're watching live on YouTube right now, make sure you like and subscribe, as it's the best way to help us show up in the algorithms. If you're listening via podcast, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chase Downs exclusive Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there, and until next time, go Cavs.